Sports.
So they just sit there and talk about sports?
So were the Nationals Florida Man and the Astros were Olaf last night? It's kind of what it felt like. Let's do this. It's a Thursday on the Blitz.
Shall we begin?
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. Live from Twin Peaks on Kirby, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for Thursday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, whatever you want to call him, Aaron Rabel, the Voldemort, back in studio, and Nick Sciarra hanging around and keeping us on air as we broadcast live.
He's credentialed to be here.
Yeah, I don't know.
What is that, Nick?
Is that your Rockets credential? Oh, see, that's...
Oh,
we're
going
to get to that in a second. But if you want to get in, no phone calls today because we're at Twin Peaks on Kirby. Just come on out here and hang out. It's going to be fun. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is blitzed, at the producer Nick, at Degenerates975. You can text the show. You know the number for that. No Twitch today. And it's a Thursday and no baseball tonight, which I'm kind of glad for. I need a break from baseball.
It's a football night.
It's a football night and a basketball night. We have the Rockets going, too. So,
boy, I'm so far from a basketball state of mind right now.
Yeah.
It's like on not even on the back burner. It's like next to the stove.
I kind of want – well, I think part of the problem is I'm baseballed out because these games are so bleeping long. And
they are long.
So many, and I'm happy that they're there, and I want them to keep going. But I really want to get back to God sport and just do football.
Yeah.
I really want to do that. But I also – I'm a little excited to see what the Rockets do tonight.
Well – I guess there's only one place to start. I don't want to. I'm not a toot my own horn kind of guy.
Oh yes, you are.
But I am.
Away.
I am batting 100, batting 1,000, 100% on my Major League Baseball bets this season.
You gonna stop now?
I'm gonna stop now.
I think that's a good play.
Yeah,
I'm 2 for 3.
Okay.
On mine, so I feel pretty good about quitting.
Yeah, it. Last night was not only disappointing if you're an Astros fan, I think that it may have been crippling. Like, that may be the end of the series. I'll be honest, this Nationals team, you know who they remind me a little bit of? The 2017 Astros. They look like they're having a bunch of fun.
Yeah.
They're out. I mean, everybody seems like they're, you know, they're just rolling with it. And that's kind of what the Astros were like. They were loose. They were fun. This Astros team now, it's almost like you see the pressure on them. And
they look a lot like the Yankees did in the last series, frankly.
Yeah, they're pressing. And, you know, you've gotten, you know, Strasburg last night, slow start, obviously. Gives up 2 in the first inning.
Yeah, well, what was scary is he didn't really have his very best stuff, but boy, battled. He battled the whole way.
I mean,
he doesn't
still
need
great.
His best stuff.
He was still great,
yeah.
You know, he got them to the bullpen. Like, you know, he got them deep enough into the game where they were able to piece together the bullpen. And obviously, by the time he left the game, the Nationals had taken a lead off Verlander. They're up 3-2. And with the home run, and then the melt starts. And I guess it starts with that home run. But that sixth inning, it couldn't have gone worse.
No.
Or was it the seventh? It was the sixth, right?
Sixth, yeah.
Yeah, it couldn't have gone worse for the Astros.
Well, they look like the Yankees. They're throwing the ball around and making errors. Well, not errors. They wasn't called an error, but... They're not making plays that they usually make, and it fell apart on them.
I think that's an interesting thing because if the error gets charged to Bregman, which that's an error. I
thought it was.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I don't care what anybody says. That's E5. If that is charged an error, Ryan Pressly only allows one earned run, and it's the one that they intentionally put on base. But instead,
if he makes that play, I don't think Ryan Pressly allows any runs.
Right,
they get out of it down 3-2, and and it's a different game, but they didn't make the play. So you can whether – I think it was an error too. But
you know, everybody on Twitter last night was like, oh, Ryan Pressly killed us. No, not really. I mean, Ryan Pressly – there was a couple plays in the infield. Like he gave up one real hit.
He got a couple ground balls that you're supposed to get to.
Yeah.
That simple.
And, he started with runners on second and third. I mean, it wasn't like he was in a good spot necessarily. Verlander wasn't sharp last night. And
9 first-inning runs in this postseason that he's given.
Yeah. And I think the first player ever to lose his first 5 World Series decisions. I mean, obviously.
You've got to be pretty good to get the 5 World Series
decisions.
Yeah,
it's hard to complain, but.
Yeah.
I'm surprised Kershaw hasn't done that, by the way.
But that's what I would have bet on.
Yeah, just a disappointing showing all around. And, you know, you can – Bregman hits the home run in the first inning. That's all fine and good. The rest of his at-bats don't tell me that he really figured anything out.
Yeah, the whole he's back thing.
No,
yeah.
he ran into a ball. And. Yeah. The rest
it
of
was
at-bats.
One of the few mistakes that Strasburg made the entire game. He hung that slider just a little bit.
But the rest of his at-bats didn't look like he's MVP form. And then he's at the center of that meltdown sixth inning. So, I mean, another rough game for him. It's snowballing now. And the Astros, they're not a team that can win without these bats going off. In some kind of way, and especially now. Now you've lost a Cole start and a Verlander start. You really need to turn things on and just start bashing the baseball now because the Nationals, they're not stopping. The Astros have scored most of their runs this postseason in the first inning. I got to look it up again. I looked it up this morning. I think it's more first inning runs than 2 through 9 runs in the postseason, which is really pretty wild to think about, isn't it?
Yeah.
So they're getting off to a good start, but they are just not battling as the game goes on. And the Nationals are a team, they're not turning it off. They're going. They're pushing on you. And when you make a mistake, they're punishing you.
Well, and I think that's part of the problem. The Nationals have forgotten how to lose a game. And
seems like it. 8 in a row now?
Yeah, and unless the Astros can come out and knock them in the teeth once.
You know why? The blue uniforms, I told you.
Get out of here with the damn blue uniforms. But, to me, for the Astros to get back, well, they're going to have to win game 3, but they need to punch him in the mouth and take away some of that confidence a little bit. And then I think they have a shot, but, I mean, I certainly wouldn't bet on them at this point. And, I don't see anything from the last 2 nights. Like, the first night I thought, okay, they
fought back.
A lot went wrong and they lost by 1 run. Okay.
But last night there was no fight.
No, there really wasn't, and it was basically like, okay, we're accepting this. Don't like it. So I don't feel good about I don't feel good about this team as much as I did after game 1. I'm not going to write them off because I've seen how resilient they've been all year long. But at some point, man, you've got to punch those guys in the mouth. And until they do, then it's hard to have much faith in them.
And like I say, baseball is the game where, to me, it's not unusual for the better team to lose.
Oh yeah, it happens.
I don't know that a 7-game series tells you who the better team necessarily is.
It tells you who's playing better at the time.
But the Nationals are clearly playing better baseball right now than the Astros are.
Yeah, going back to 2017, both the Astros and the Dodgers were playing great, and that's why we had such a great series.
Yeah.
And right now, you've got one team that's playing out of its mind, and one team that's really. I would say struggling at this point, and that's why you get the results you get.
I mean, if I told you at the beginning of the series that the most you'll win on Verlander or Cole starts is 2, what odds would you have given the Astros to win the series?
I would have put it at about 30%. Maybe 35.
Yeah, man, to me, even that seems generous.
Well, because I think, I still think they have the edge in the Game 3 matchup. Although the way Sanchez is pitching right now, I don't know. But
yeah, that dude just almost threw a no-hitter.
Yeah, but he threw a no-hitter against an offense that's struggling even more than this one. But, I obviously, if you don't win Game 3, then there's no point in even discussing anything else. So, yeah, they got to go in there and win Game 3, and if they do – and let, you know, kind of show them that, hey, we can beat your asses, then maybe they have a shot. And I go back, though, if you're down 2-1 even, I think about Cole on 3 days rest. I mean, he can't be any worse than he was in his last start.
Well, and he's probably not worse than your TD, right. Brad Peacock,
and
whatever,
you're not gonna,
piecemeal game.
I mean, who cares? You're not going to have him next year. You ruin his arm, his arm. Jay Rapp, who's here, says one positive is the Astros going down 0-2 is you now get plus 215 on him to win the series.
Well, yeah, enjoy that. I don't want anything to do
with
that.
Yeah, I don't see the value in that one because but then again, you know, I mean, this has happened before. Teams have gone down 0-2 and come back and won. I you know, it's not going to totally shock me if it happens, but I certainly wouldn't bet on it.
Someone sent me a tweet with, it says, how many runs will you cost your team today? And it's Bregman, that video of him throwing up the four. Whoops. Yeah, I don't know. Last night was super deflating. It just doesn't feel like, I don't know. It feels like the Nationals are a team of destiny kind of thing. It's like, it's hard to picture them losing four games out of the next five.
Well, and I said that before the series. They sure have that look of a team of destiny, which is what scares me a little bit. But I also, I didn't expect the Astros to play this tight. Yeah, and I think that's it really does look like the Yankees in the last series. I mean, the Yankees had all the pressure on them. Well, now it feels like the Astros have all the pressure on them, and they're playing like it.
There's just too many guys not hitting at once.
Yeah.
You know, and it's hard to overcome that.
And they're pressing.
Yep.
And you see it, and that's and you've got to be at your best if you're going to get runs off of guys like Strasburg and Scherzer, and they're not. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. And, hey, if you want to get that plus 215, just go to mybookie.ag. If you have faith in your Astros, go bet on them. That's how it works. And you want to get in on the football action tonight? Got the NFL, you got UH going, all on MyBookie. And they've got all kinds of bonuses for you. If you're already on MyBookie, just keep an eye on your email. They're sending you offers all the time. But if you're new and you want to sign up tonight and get money down on the Astros right now, use promo code radio at mybookie.ag, and they'll double your first deposit up to $1,000. And you can put all that money on the Astros if you want. Use promo code radio. You'll get that exclusive double your money offer, mybookie.ag, promo code radio. And the good news is if you win and you want to get paid, they pay out faster than anybody. And that is the best thing about MyBookie. You win, you get your money. And a lot of these websites, that's not the case. A lot of them, you're just hoping to get paid. It's part of the gamble. Not with MyBookie. You get paid off. Use promo code radio right now, mybookie.ag. Promo code radio. Play, win, get paid. MyBookie.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. Live from Twin Peaks on Kirby, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here at Twin Peaks on Kirby. Come on out. We'll be here until 7. Great place if you want to set up and watch UH, the Rockets, the Vikings, all in one place. And lots of scenic views. A couple of things they have coming up. Their Halloween lingerie and leather starts tomorrow, so they'll be wearing.
Tomorrow?
Yeah, we missed out by a day. Ugh. But that's okay.
Who planned this out?
Well, not me. And then I noticed that while we're in London, they're going to open at 8 o'clock on that Sunday for the Texans game.
Oh, nice.
So you can come out and watch the Texans on November 3rd right here at Twin Peaks on Kirby. And I'm sure the other Twin Peaks as well. You know, I get when people have typos and tweets when they're driving and stuff.
Yeah.
But if you're, say, another radio station in town and you're tweeting out the breaking news about the assistant GM being fired, don't you think you'd know how to spell Astro?
Oh, Astors fired?
The Astors.
Oh.
So the Astros apparently kept him, but the Astors fired him.
Yeah, RIP Brandon Taubman.
We barely knew you.
Yeah. That's. I think if you're an assistant GM, you want the average guy not to know your name. I mean, would you like some major league owners to know your name? Like, would you like to be recognized in the analytics circles and things like that? Sure. You don't want guys like us to know your name.
No.
And now and we do.
Let's be honest. How important is an assistant general manager?
I don't know. They make it seem like this guy was, like, you know, fast-tracking. Mm. But regardless, he's no longer with the Astros. And it's rare for an organization to come out and say, you know what? We blew it on this. And they probably shouldn't have said anything to begin with.
Yeah, their response was, in retrospect especially, was just bad.
Yeah.
To come out and say that the story was completely wrong. And the more that's come out, I still think it was a shoddily reported story, and I believe that firmly.
But
I don't think the guy should have lost his job. He certainly should have been – they should have responded to it better and basically said, we're going to investigate. Well, that's all they had to say.
I think he also lied about it.
Probably.
So when you talk about he shouldn't have lost his job, that may change things a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what he told them.
If he comes out and he's like, you know what, I did, I was in the moment, I was overzealous, but...
Well, if he was out there screaming, I'm team domestic violence, then yeah, he needs to be fired.
Yeah, and you know who's kind of drugged back into this is Roberto Osuna, who, you know, maybe now people maybe were starting to forget a little bit about it, and now this guy wants to come and make a big scene about him. It's like, dude, how about you keep my name out of your mouth? And let me just play some ball here. I'm trying to play a World Series.
Yeah, I don't know. By now, I assume he's heard it all and seen it all and been asked about it a million times. So
right.
I don't know that it's – I don't know how much that really impacts things. But I don't really have much to add to this beyond what I said the other day. I mean, I think it was a really stupid thing. But, you know, I also think it was a –
I hope it was
a shoddily reported story is what it was, too. And I think both there's some blame to go around there. There was apparently a history between those two. And, you know, I always have a problem when journalists make themselves the news.
Yeah.
But if he lied to the team about it, yeah, see ya. Thanks for playing. Go get some coffee.
One of the Twin Peaks girls here is wearing an SMU shirt.
Oh, really?
How do you feel about that?
I feel like that's probably who she's betting to cover.
Okay.
And she's probably right.
Okay.
So, I don't know who's going to be I don't know who's playing quarterback.
They haven't announced anything, huh?
No.
Is Holgorsen like a secret guy?
If it's Holgorsen's kid, well, what I would do is wait till the last minute. And if Holgorsen's kid is starting, I would empty my account on SMU.
And
I think they're going to cover anyway because Clayton Toon – If he plays,
if he does play, he's not healthy.
He still can't run, which is a big part of his weaponry. So, yeah, I don't feel good about this. It's just the only reason to think they have a chance is Thursday night home game. But, you know.
It's also not the NFL. I mean.
No, but, I mean, it is. Yeah, that happened in college a lot of times, especially home dogs. And UH is at least on par with Tulsa, who damn near beat SMU. But, I mean, I don't know that SMU is that great, but I can't bring myself to bet this team. So. I just, especially if Holgorsen's playing quarterback.
Right.
The kid, not the dad. And even if the dad's playing, I'm against it.
What about the NFL game tonight?
I'm not in the habit of giving 16.5 points, but I think the Vikings are going to just destroy these guys. I don't really see. It's no play for me because the spread's too big, but I ain't taking Washington, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think it's Vikings or nothing. I like the. I kind of like the under as well. The Vikings have just shown to be a bad offensive team. Everybody's like, oh, a Keenum revenge game. I don't know. That's going to matter.
Yeah, good luck. It's also the Cousins revenge game.
Yeah. And I think that, I mean, both teams obviously, those Redskins clearly want to run the football. The Vikings, I think, they're starting to realize they're at their best when they run the football.
Just give it to Dalvin Cook and get the hell out of the way.
To me, that screams under. So, should be a fun game, though. Well,
yeah.
Fun relatively.
Yeah. The only
I'm curious to watch it because I want to know what the Vikings really are, and maybe this doesn't tell us exactly what they are.
It shouldn't tell us anything.
But if they continue to dominate,
no, they're supposed to dominate this team though. That's why you're 16.5 point favorites. So I don't think I'm going to learn much from this unless they don't play well, and then I'm going to be more concerned. I mean, if they go out there and just hammer them, if they pull a Nationals on them,
yeah,
they're supposed to. So, but I would like to see
if they cover. That's 4 out of 5 games that they've won by 18 plus points.
So who have they beaten in those contests?
Eagles, Giants, Raiders.
See, I the only one of those I look at and say, okay, Raiders. I do think that team's better than a lot of people think. But they're also kind of inconsistent. And the Eagles, I don't even know what the Eagles are.
I don't know what the Eagles are either. I still think the Eagles,
they got talent, but
yeah, when it's all said and done, I think the Eagles are going to be there. But I think the Vikings are kind of under the radar, a Super Bowl contending team in the NFC, which, I mean, the NFC is not exactly a monster.
Well, that's the thing. If you go back to who we thought the Super Bowl contending teams were going to be before the season, we would have said Rams.
Yeah. They don't look good.
I wouldn't call them a contender right now, would you?
No.
We would have said Saints. Okay, they're still there. I think you would have mentioned Bears, Vikings, and Packers.
Bears are out of that.
Yeah. I still think Packers and Vikings are in there. Do we go any deeper than that? Maybe the Panthers?
I think the Panthers have worked their way in. The 49ers.
Yeah, 49ers. So that feels pretty wide open to me. And, you know, I think when you look at the AFC, it's just, okay, we thought it'd be Patriots and Chiefs. And
no,
it's
might
just going to be Patriots.
Just be Patriots.
Although,
yeah.
Patrick Mahomes, they haven't ruled out for Sunday yet.
No.
And I already punched a ticket at 4.5, whether he plays or not.
On Chiefs?
Yes.
Yeah, same.
And so I feel good about that. I don't know if I'll feel better if he's out there on one leg, but, I mean.
Trying to think who else in the AFC you could even really consider. I think the Ravens are good. I don't know if they're that level good. I think the Colts are in the same boat.
I think the Colts, Texans, Ravens are all the same team. Just depends on the week, right?
And there's not really a secondary team in the AFC West. We everybody assumed the Chargers would be good again. They're clearly not.
The Raiders may be the second best team in that division.
And then, I mean, the Bills.
The Bills are good, but they're going to have to be a wild card team.
But the Bills also haven't played anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, the quarterbacks that they've played, when we go through some games later, I'll read you the list of quarterbacks the Bills have beat.
Yeah.
You'll see why they've done what they've done. But you could say the same thing for the 49ers and the Patriots, those are the three weakest schedules in the league, or those three teams. All right, I got to tell you guys about Academy. The Houston Astros, of course, playing for the World Series. Academy Sports and Outdoors is your hometown store for your hometown team. Get everything you need to cheer on the Stros as they take the championship back. Officially licensed World Series apparel, your favorite Stars jersey, plus all the hats, tees, and other gear you need to represent H-Town from head to toe. The Astros aren't done making history, so get to Academy Sports and Outdoors and Academy.com to be ready to witness it all. And, guys, all the gear, all the officially licensed World Series gear, they've got it at Academy. Make sure you get down there and get your hands on it. And I'll be honest, as someone who was at the gift shop at the Astros game, Academy, they've got a little better price than you're getting at the stadium. So, good to check them out. MLB trademarks and copyrights are used with permission of Major League Baseball. Visit MLB.com and visit Academy Sports and Outdoors for all your Astros gear.
You are listening to an ESPN 97.5 Road Show, live from Twin Peaks on Kirby. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Bauer and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Texter says, I don't know if this is true because I haven't seen it, but for the Astros fans who complain about not getting national attention in primetime games, ratings for Game 1 was a 5-year low, and ratings for Game 2 was an all-time low.
Yeesh.
I don't know if that's true, but it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, let's be honest.
These are not teams with national appeal.
If the Yankees or Red Sox or Dodgers are not in it.
Or Cubs.
Maybe Cardinals. Maybe. And let's be honest. If the Astros weren't in it, would anybody here care?
I wouldn't.
Would anybody in Houston be watching this?
No.
I mean, it's unwatchable.
I wouldn't be watching it intently, certainly. I'd flip over and check the score or whatever. But
and see maybe if there's a key moment, flip over.
I think most baseball fans at this point.
5 hours of crap, man.
It's such a commitment to watch these games because they are so long. So unless you've got some skin in the game, which means unless you bet on the game or you're a fan of one of the teams, it borders on unwatchable. I mean, you're talking about 4.5 hour broadcasts. I mean, whew.
Yeah,
that's a lot. Last segment we were talking about who the Bills have beat.
Yeah,
this is the list of quarterbacks the Bills have beat this year. Sam Darnold.
Okay.
By 1 point.
Sam Darnold, who has had one good game.
Well, he's got one win this year.
Yeah, he had one good game.
Eli Manning, no longer a starter in the NFL.
He's dead.
0 wins this year. Andy Dalton, zero wins this year. Thomas Brady, lost. All the wins, but they lost that game.
Yeah.
Marcus Mariota, no longer a starter.
Also dead.
One win.
Yeah, he's running scout team as Jameis Winston this week.
And Ryan Fitzpatrick, one win. Or no wins.
No wins, yeah.
So, yeah, three of the five quarterbacks they beat have no wins. The other two have one win each. It may be, yeah, I think the Bills being a Super Bowl contender, that's a little out there.
Well, no matter how many games they win, they're going to have to go on the road as a wild card team.
So. Yeah. Well, I mean, more than likely.
They're not winning the division.
It's very unlikely. But right now, they're one game out, you know?
Well, technically, they're two.
One and a half.
Because they lost to the Patriots at home. So they're not going to go into Foxborough and beat them. But, yeah, I think, you look at the AFC, it really just feels like it's Patriots. And I don't think this is Patriots team is as great as some of the other teams they've had. Defensively
they're
playing. But again, look at who they played.
Right.
And, I mean, look at the quarterbacks that they played. Josh Allen might be the most successful one.
Roethlisberger, because they played him before he was before he died. Josh Rosen, Luke Falk, Josh Allen, Case Keenum, Daniel Jones, Sam Darnold.
Yeah, not exactly not exactly murderer's row. No. They do have some games coming up against pretty good quarterbacks. They'll theoretically play.
Well, they play Baker Mayfield next, Lamar Jackson next. And we say it all the time, when you talk about Bill Belichick against young quarterbacks, by the way, think about a bigger coaching mismatch than Bill Belichick versus Freddie Kitchens this week. So, I don't know.
You're saying Freddie Kitchens can't coach?
I've said that already out loud. Yeah, but after this week when they get Mayfield, it's Lamar Jackson, Carson Wentz, Dak, Deshaun, and presumably Mahomes. And then you finish it up with Dalton, Josh Allen, and either Fitzpatrick or Rosen.
The only two, well, I would say let's Lamar Jackson is playing pretty well.
He's playing well.
So, but Jackson, Mahomes, Watson, that's it. Unless you still believe in Baker Mayfield. Yeah, but Wentz is not playing very well.
Dak?
Yeah, Dak's probably on that list with those guys.
They've got a handful of them, but it's been pretty slim so far. And the reason why I've been getting burned betting against the Saints. I have learned my lesson on that. But I'll be fading the 49ers again this week.
Oh, I am too. That's one of my favorite plays of the weekend.
I mean, their list is Jameis Winston, Andy Dalton, Mason Rudolph, Baker Mayfield, Jared Goff, Case Keenum.
God.
I mean, what's their best win? And that's 6-0. I guess it's the Rams, who I think are pretty overvalued
at this point. That is their best one. But, yeah, what have they got coming up, though? I'm sure they got to play the Seahawks.
They've got Panthers this week, at Cardinals, Seahawks, Cardinals, Packers at Ravens at Saints. So it gets a little tougher,
yeah.
But then they close out Falcons, Rams, and at Seattle to finish. So
he said Manfred loves to blame the players for the game taking so long, but the commercial breaks during these games take forever.
I mean, when you're in the stadium after the last pitch of an inning, you see the timer start in the outfield, and it's 3 minutes. I mean, so if you make that 2 minutes instead of 3 minutes, and you're taking 2 minutes per inning, the game gets 18 minutes shorter.
But you're not going to do that because
that's 60 seconds. That's 18 minutes of commercial time.
Yeah, And we haven't seen enough of that hold my beer chick.
But
this
if
series,
you,
so you got to keep showing those commercials.
If you're getting the lowest ratings of all time, do you consider maybe having less commercials at a higher rate is the way to go?
Yeah, but how do you sell that when your ratings are that?
That's what
I mean. That's the whole chicken and egg thing. But yeah, I just think it's regular season baseball bad enough, but the playoff games are so long, and it is such a commitment.
Yeah,
and you really have to want to watch. So unless it's you're tuning in because you want to see the Yankees lose or the Red Sox lose,
right?
Then most people aren't going to care. I mean, the Nationals don't have any kind of national presence,
no.
And the Astros certainly don't. And maybe more people are interested in watching them lose since, you know, they're turning into bad guys, but
yeah.
They're not bad enough guys to hate.
I will say at least there's some star power.
There
in
is,
the series,
but I mean,
it's clearly not enough to get people to watch it.
But I think it goes to a bigger problem with baseball. It's like there's plenty of star power, but it's star power if you're a baseball fan.
Right.
I mean, these guys they're not like everybody knows who LeBron James is and Kawhi Leonard
yeah.
and those guys. And you know, Kawhi is one of the quietest guys out there. People know who he is, and I don't know if it's because they buy shoes or what it is.
Well, it's because Major League Baseball doesn't market players; they market teams. They market the brand. It's the NBA has always been about marketing players.
Yeah, I mean, the NFL just kind of markets itself. They don't really need it.
They market the league, and it works.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. It is. Because we've talked about this before. Mike Trout, undoubtedly the best player in baseball, right?
Yes.
On the national scale, he wouldn't, as far as recognizability, as far as marketability.
He'd rank behind a dozen NFL players and a dozen NBA players.
Well, I mean, at least. I'm thinking maybe not even. I mean, there's probably 20 NBA players that people would say, oh, I know that guy before they know who Mike Trout is.
More recognizable to average, let's say, 30-year-old dude. If you held up a picture of Mike Trout or Joe Flacco, who's more recognizable?
Joe Flacco.
Isn't that crazy to think about?
Yeah, at least Joe Flacco would be known because he won a Super Bowl.
Still.
I mean, it was,
he's
yes,
still
it was,
Joe
it was
Flacco.
40, it was 47 years ago.
He's still Joe
still.
Flacco.
Yeah. I think almost any NFL quarterback who's played – like Case Keenum? He might be more recognizable.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going that far.
I mean, certainly in Houston you would.
But
I think, you know, considering that he got a team to an NFC championship game and played really well that year.
I mean, who's the most recognizable star? Who's the most recognizable star nationally in the series? Verlander? Because he's married to Kate Upton. I mean, maybe.
But yeah, if he weren't married to if it were Scherzer who was married to Kate Upton. I'd say Scherzer.
Yeah. Altuve's getting up there, but I don't really know.
I
know Altuve's huge here.
Yeah, but outside of Houston?
I don't know.
So, yeah, I don't know, man. It's a weird thing because I wonder maybe it is the way baseball markets a guy. Somebody said, I know the name Mike Trout. I have no idea what he looks like. I think that's fair.
Yeah.
I really do.
I think that's what most people are.
And I don't think it's fair to compare to NFL, but NBA, the MLB considers itself on that level. I don't think it is.
From a player standpoint.
No, I mean, there'll be three guys there tonight that are light years more recognizable than maybe Aaron Judge because he's a Yankee and he's tall. Maybe people would recognize him even more than Mike Trout.
Well, I will say this. I think that in baseball, people have a general idea. Like, do you think the average 30-year-old dude could divide the NBA up into divisions?
No.
But baseball, they can. I think teams, like, everybody knows teams a little bit better in baseball than they do in the NBA. But players,
Well, I don't know. I think it depends on what league your team is in. Because I bet if you randomly pick 5 30-year-old guys here who aren't National League fans, they might
said,
not be able to do
name
it.
The five teams in the National League West. Or,
yeah,
I mean,
I don't know that they could.
Okay,
I don't know. I mean, we're just kind of speculating here, but that's what I think. I think if you go pull a guy and say, "Hey, are you an Astros fan?" Yeah. Okay, name me the teams in the National League West. I bet they'd struggle with that.
Maybe it's a project to do.
Yeah, I don't, it's just a thought. See, I noticed Nick took off his credential. See, and I, you know why I think he was wearing that?
To get laid?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why you do it, right? So if he had it on backwards, which doesn't work, because people see that media and Rockets.
Look at me.
And they're like, oh, wow. You must be somebody.
I'm Nick Sciarra.
Yeah, you tell them I'm the producer Nick. Big bleep Nick. That's what they should call me.
Yeah.
That's what it says on my credential.
Oh, do you see you see AJ or Fred with a credential? Nope. You see me with one? Yes.
So who do you think's more
levels
important?
Of importance? There's levels to this game, ladies. That's what Nick's saying to all the Twin Peaks gals.
Yeah, and that's a good plan. I support you in this, sir.
Yeah. I mean, only if it works.
Yeah. Well, even if it doesn't, I admire the moxie. I admire the game.
It's the hustle.
Yeah.
Nick's a hustler.
I admire him putting in the effort. All right. Well, we're supposed to have Lawyer Dave, but he's actually coming out here.
Oh, okay.
So we'll do Lawyer Dave here in a few minutes when he gets here. We'll just go to break right now. Don't go anywhere. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5 live from Twin Peaks on Kirby.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Twin Peaks on Kirby. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Bauer and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz, live here at Twin Peaks on Kirby. Come on out, have a beer. They got a little Crawford Bock on tap here. That's what I had before the show. And
you love that Crawford Bock.
I do. Everybody loves a Crawford Bock. How could you not?
It's good beer.
They nailed it with that. And it's 29 degrees here on the beer.
Oh.
Well, 30.2 right now.
It's very cold.
Yeah, but very tasty. So
I think that's the girl that was wearing the SMU shirt.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's who she bet on, I'm sure.
Yeah. She's against you.
Well, I didn't say that. Well, I mean, yeah, I'd like... I'm rooting for UH, but if I were betting, I'd be on the SMU
yeah.
side. So we're not necessarily against each other. We just have different motivations.
Jay says, here's what I've gathered over the last 72 hours. The Nationals had a fantastic week. The Astros, not so much. I expect some sort of regression from the Nats.
It may not be enough at this point, though.
Yeah, I mean, even if you get some regression, how many did they win by last night? 10?
Well, but you know... One game like that is fairly meaningless. I mean, whether you lose by 1 or 10,
and
when things fall apart, they fall apart.
You know what? Let me again, I hate to bag on Jose Altuve too much because he's the reason the Astros are here. And we spent all last week talking about the best Astro in history. For someone so fast, he's a really terrible base runner.
Oh, yeah, he is.
I mean.
But we've known that for a long time.
It just can't. You cannot get thrown out stealing third base with a lefty at the plate. I mean, in the first inning. What is happening here? That I don't understand why that's even going through his head as an option. I mean, does he have the green light? Do you think, or did AJ Hinch say,
no,
"You know what?
I'm sure he's had the green light, but
you know what? I'm gonna let this guy steal third base with a lefty on at bat. It just you don't do it."
Yeah, and of course, it looks worse when Bregman hits the home run. It costs
exactly.
You a run. And well, he probably would have scored on Brantley's hit.
Yeah,
if he just stayed there. JRP says players in MLB and NHL are more down to earth with smaller egos when compared to NBA and NFL athletes. Maybe that's why they're less recognizable. Boy, I disagree. Some of the biggest a-holes I've ever met in my life are MLB players. Now, I don't think that's the case with a lot of the Astros. I think Altuve is just a good dude.
Yeah.
But, you know, no, there's a lot of arrogant a-holes in baseball. There's no question. Honestly... Like hockey players are great, the ones that I've had to deal with. The guys who, believe it or not, that were always the easiest to deal with, even more so than NFL players, were the NBA guys. And now that does include all of them. I don't know what it's like dealing with LeBron. But
yeah.
I can tell you that when I was in that locker room and guys like Clyde and Akeem and people like that were there, they'd make time. They would answer questions. And they were easy to deal with. I think maybe because they all make so much damn money, and
yeah,
and they're all selling sneakers and everything else on top of it.
Kenny makes a pretty good point. More people probably recognized Harden and Westbrook sitting behind the plate more than they recognize anyone who was at the plate for Game 6 of the ALCS.
That's probably fair.
Yeah.
J-Rap, while speed is extremely helpful in base stealing, it's not everything. The best base stealers aren't the fastest. Miles Straw's pretty fast.
Yeah.
I would like to have seen him in this roster.
I would have, too.
But not that it matters. So, 713-780-ESPN, if you
But this Nationals team has that, too. They've got speed.
Yeah. Yeah. Those first two guys, too, I mean, if they get on base, they're a problem.
Yeah. And really, I was actually pleasantly surprised at the Astros, because late in that game, when Trey Turner walks and he's on first base and I think he wanted to run, Astros kept throwing over, and they end up grounding into a double play because they didn't let Trey Turner run.
Yeah.
If he steals that base, now you're talking about, instead of two outs, you're talking about one out and a man at third. The whole innings changed. So I thought they did a good job of adjusting to that and trying to slow down what the Nationals want to do.
Somebody says, how nationally recognizes J.J. Watt? A lot.
Yeah.
I mean, and that also, because of the whole Harvey thing, took him to a different level. But he was already recognizable.
He is probably – he's in the conversation for most recognizable defensive player in the league. I'm trying to think of who else is even in that discussion. Richard Sherman, probably.
Richard Sherman, I would say, number one. Not for good reasons. Jalen Ramsey is up there. Khalil Mack.
Yeah, Khalil Mack, maybe. Von Miller, maybe.
Von Miller.
But, I mean, it's just far as, like, recognizable by their face. I think it's Richard Sherman or J.J. Watt. Even, I mean, Aaron Donald, I've said for years, Aaron Donald's the best player in football. And I don't think he's wildly recognizable.
I think in part that's because he's
not a spotlight guy.
He's not a spotlight guy, and he plays for the Rams. And
he plays in L.A. He plays in a glamour market.
That market hasn't embraced that team.
Yeah.
Not the way it's still a Lakers-Dodgers city. Even the Clippers getting those two guys. It's such a weird sports market. But
Watt, for a defensive player, is massively recognizable.
Yeah. But that is fair. I do think there's a lot of defensive guys who aren't necessarily as recognizable. Because like Aaron Donald should be.
Oh, yeah.
But I bet if he walked in here, most people wouldn't know who he is.
But the more recognizable guys are always going to be on offense. Those are the glitzy positions.
That's the sexy positions. Yeah. So, okay, here's a game for you. Who would you recognize first, Mike Trout or Dale Earnhardt Jr.?
Mm. I mean, for me, it would be Mike Trout. But, the average guy,
I think it's
probably Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Yeah, and now, don't get me wrong, pretty much any NASCAR driver could walk in here and I wouldn't know who the hell he is.
I would recognize Dale Earnhardt Jr. and I would recognize Jeff Gordon.
But neither one of them race anymore.
I would recognize Ryan Newman.
See, I don't even know if I'd recognize him.
I only know him because he won me a bunch of money a long time ago. But so
I certainly wouldn't recognize Ryan Blaney or
Danica Patrick.
Yeah, somebody mentioned Danica Patrick earlier. I think she's recognizable for a different reason, in that she was a female.
Yeah.
And now she's recognizable for dating Aaron Rodgers. So.
Yeah, it's funny that there's sports like that. Phil Mickelson's probably more recognizable than Mike Trout.
Yeah?
Yeah, that tells you what kind of a job baseball does promoting their stars. It ain't good.
Yeah. So it's college football and basketball makes them more recognizable, less people watch college baseball.
That is true.
That's fair, but I also think college basketball, I almost don't know that it has that much of an impact, because we all knew what Zion was before he played at Duke.
Yeah.
And it got bigger with him at Duke, but you knew who he was coming in. So,
but also, I mean, there's some exceptions, but I don't know that college football players are necessarily super recognizable either, you know?
Yeah.
If Josh Fields walked in today, would you know what he looked like?
Mm, Not really.
I mean, so I think it's – if Joe Burrow walked through the door, do you think the average guy would know who Joe Burrow was?
Probably not. But with football players, to me, it's always different because they're all wearing helmets.
Yeah.
And
– but that's one thing that should make it easier for baseball players.
Theoretically. So – somebody said, do you guys ever figure out why Joe Buck discloses Juan Soto is 20 years old every damn time he's at the plate? Yeah, we had a...
By the way, I think I said Josh Fields instead of Justin Fields.
So there you go. That tells you everything, yeah.
That is my bad.
We set the over-under at 5.5 on the Juan Soto 20 years old.
He crushed it.
It was gone before the game started.
Yeah.
So, but there you go. Yeah, we're ready for Lawyer Dave because Lawyer Dave is sitting right here with us. Out here at Twin Peaks on Kirby. And if you happen to be coming out and you got a legal question, you can go right up to Dave and say, hey, Dave, I have a legal question. Can you help me? And you'll tell him, right?
Absolutely.
You got to turn his mic on. That would be a good start. How about now?
Absolutely. We'll help anybody who's got a question or a comment. Be glad to entertain it.
And you handle most people who've been in accidents. And let's face it, we're in Houston. You look at 59 out there, there's going to be an accident. If you live in this city, you're going to be in a car crash. What are they supposed to do?
Better dial Dave at 713-626-8900. We can get you to medical treatment if you don't have any money to pay for a doctor up front, which happens to a lot of folks. If you just want a consultation, that's always free. If you got a legal question that's not in the area of accidents, I'll entertain that too and send you to the right folks.
And so if I'm in an accident on the way home tonight, I don't pay you a dime until you win.
That's exactly right. We take a percentage of whatever we win. We win together. If we happen to lose, which is rare, we lose together. But for sure, we look forward to winning for every one of the blitzers that comes our way.
Yeah, and you've handled quite a few cases for the blitzers.
Oh, lots. In fact, I had a guy come in today with a medical malpractice question who was a blitzer. And I was able to help him out, told him to get his medical records together, and I would carefully review because that's one of the areas I do, medical malpractice.
All right. Well, medical malpractice, car accidents, 18-wheeler accidents, hospital negligence. He handles all of it. And all he does is win. That's just a fact. So tell him how to get in touch with you.
Fred, if I'm in town because I've been in Laredo, Dallas, and Beaumont over the last few days, call me at 713-626-8900. Or LawyerDave.com, or LawyerDaveLaw is my Twitter handle, or get a hold of me through Fred. He knows where I am 24/7.
Yeah, basically, if you can't remember all that, just hit me up on Twitter, and I'll put you in touch. So, need a lawyer? Better dial Dave.